Thank you for listening today to our podcast here at Word of Life. We're delighted that you tuned in, and I pray that while you hear us talk, you hear the Holy Spirit speak. I know God's got a big plan for you. We're excited to be a part of that plan. Hopefully, we will see you sometime soon, maybe even this weekend. Until then, we pray you have a wonderful, wonderful week.
So, as I mentioned, I just got back from China. And this trip that I took was absolutely born out of the Spirit. Now, we all want a life like that, a life that is born out of the Spirit. The book of Romans tells us that which is born out of the Spirit is spirit, that which is born out of the flesh is flesh. Another way of saying that would be that which is born of God, God will have to sustain. That which is born out of the flesh, you will have to sustain. It's the difference between Isaac and Ishmael. And whenever you live a life of prayer, which I would encourage everyone who is a Christian to live a life of prayer, you begin to get things from the Holy Spirit of God. His Spirit begins teaching you what to pray. His Spirit begins to teach you the plan and the path that God has for you. And one day while I was praying, the Lord dealt with my heart to homeschool my daughter. Now, this came as a complete surprise because me and my wife had kind of promised we would never homeschool any of our children. That just did not seem like something we could do. It had nothing against homeschooling. My wife was homeschooled pretty much her entire educational life. But it was just something, in surveying our capacity as parents, we identified homeschooling as something that was beyond our capacity. But in prayer, I got this, and so I told the Lord, like, you know, I'm married, so this is not just like a me and you thing, this is an us thing, and I said, you know, you need to deal with the heart of my wife, and one day we were talking, and the subject came up, and it was a natural on-ramp, and I asked her about it, and she said, you know what, I've actually been praying about that too, and I have a lot of peace about that. Well, I approached my daughter with that kind of idea, and to my surprise, she was very open to it. And so we went down the homeschooling route and began to plan for it, prep for it for her. For other boys, we had peace about keeping them in schools, and they're in two different schools, which makes our commute very interesting. But nevertheless, we believe in raising each child differently. That I believe each child is different from the other, and they need to be raised according to their bent. There are things that work with one son that don't work with the other one. There are things that work with my sons that don't work with my daughter. There are things I have to do with my sons that I don't have to necessarily have to do with my daughter. So just going down those paths. Well, after we began making that preparation, I was praying again another day, and the Lord dealt with me about my daughter and said, I want you to take her on a missions trip, and the country I want you to take her to is China. So AJ, watching from China, maybe I met you last week when I was there. But that's how that trip started. Is it wasn't just a trip we were taking as a church. It was started in me feeling impressed that I was to take my daughter to China on a missions trip, and so let's pull a trip together. So we get closer and closer to this trip, and the closer we got to it, the more I felt impressed to just invite the Holy Spirit into the trip. Now, you know, I know a lot of times when people hear things like this, people can get super spiritual. And for those of you who are not like people who are Christians or maybe walking with God, or someone drug you here this morning and it's early and you're still kind of waking up, let me just help you with this. God is a gentleman. He will not force himself on anybody. God will not force himself on you. If you want God in your life, you have to invite him into your life. And the Holy Spirit is a member of the Godhead. God is the Trinity, the blessed three in one. If that doesn't make sense, how God can be three in one, let me explain it this way. I and you, most of you in here, are probably three in one. I'm the same person, but I have different relationships with different people. For my mother, I am her son. For my wife, I am her husband. For my daughter, I am her father. I'm the same person, but different roles, and I play and interact differently according to the person I am with. I demonstrate a part of my personality that is always there, but is not always demonstrated that way because of the person I am with. God is the same way. He's the triune being. He's the perfect three in one. And you have God the Father. You have God who was made manifest in the flesh, him being Jesus. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. But you also have God the Holy Spirit. He's the one who leads and guides. Now, the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter by Jesus. And when you break down that word comforter, it means paraclete. It means strengthener, standby, advocate, teacher, guide, intercessor. It's a very, very powerful word. And Jesus said, I sent him to the earth because I knew you would need him. You need his help. And here's the thing about the Holy Spirit. He has to be yielded to. He has to be yielded to. In prayer, prayer is like a river. You don't want to get in the river and beat the river into submission. Now, a lot of people do this in prayer. They just get louder and stronger and try to beat the river and to make it do what it wants to do. I want you to flow this way. That's not how God ordained prayer. A river is not to be beaten against. A river is to be flowed with. You want to flow with the river, not beat against the river. And when you're praying, you just want to get in the river and flow. So most of prayer shouldn't be petition. Most of prayer should be discovery. Like, I'm not just going to God and asking him all the time to, like, do this or do this. I'm going to God and yielding myself to find out his plan. Because here's the thing. You can create a plan and ask God to bless it all you want. But when God gives you a plan, guess what? That plan is already blessed because it was God's idea. So in prayer, I felt the need to just yield to the Holy Spirit and to invite the Holy Spirit to, like, come in the trip, lead, guide, like, set up powerful encounters with you and your people and your plans and your purposes. Like, I really want you to do this, not just in the lives of the people we go and minister to, but I really feel like that you're supposed to do this in the life of my daughter. For parents, and I don't care how old your kids are, you need to know one of your chief responsibilities as a parent is to pray for your children. My father, before he went home to be with the Lord, he told me, he said, I was praying one day and the Lord told me to pray for you and your sister an hour every day. An hour every day to pray just for you guys. And I look at my life and I look at my sister's life and I wonder how much of our lives are living in his answered prayers. Of prayers that went before us, even prayers that he prayed about this season of life that I'm in right now, of some of the things I'm experiencing, I'm just walking out prayers that he prayed. That, like, John the Baptist was the voice that went before Jesus, that my father's voice was the voice that went before me. What about in your life? Has your voice been going ahead of your children? Has your voice been going ahead of their schooling, ahead of their spouses? I pray for my kids' spouses all the time. For my sons, I'm like, God, they need a wife. They need a woman, Jesus. And she better be spirit-filled and anointed. Like, they need a woman. For my daughter, I'm like, help her not get married until she's 60. Like just set up a hedge of protection. But one of our chief responsibilities as parents is to be the voice that goes ahead of our children, to make crooked places straight, high places low, low places high, to be that voice in their life. And so I just began to pray for this trip. And we get on the trip, and I kid you not, like, the whole trip was just one God moment after the next, like event after event that just kind of lined up that really established the plan of God in my life and honestly my daughter's. Now, there's so much of the trip that I could talk about, and trust me, I'm going somewhere with this. I'm not just telling you cool stories. In fact, there's teaching all along the way if you have not already figured that out. There's one day out of the whole trip, it was about an 11-day trip, but there's one day that kind of stood out to me above all the other days, and it was last Thursday. So we get to this city in China, and it wasn't kind of like a main city on the coastland. China's a lot like, the United States. You kind of have the coastal cities or some of your bigger cities, that kind of thing. This was more inland. And as we get there, like, our plans start to shift and change. How many of you know God's plans are always better than yours? And our plans begin to shift. And we have this moment on Thursday where everything begins to shift. And I see the handiwork of God. So me and my daughter, we wake up Thursday morning and we go to be with the team to have our devotional, to kind of start the morning with prayer and scripture and all of those kinds of things. And each person on the team was going to do the devotional. So every day someone else would have to do the devotional. And we were with another group from Hong Kong who were coming in inland. And one of the members from this church gets up and he was Filipino. And I've never been to the Philippines. My father went there a lot. But he gets up and he starts talking about how he came to Christ, how his parents led him to Christ, and that the reason why his parents led him to Christ is his father was working in the Middle East and missionaries came into the Middle East and shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with him. He got born again and brought it back to his family all the way back in the Philippines. And now his son is a full-fledged Christ follower and is taking the gospel of Jesus Christ from Hong Kong on a mission trip into mainland China. And his whole goal was to win someone to Christ that day who had never heard the gospel to kind of pay it forward. That just like someone did it for his father, he would do it in the life of someone else. And so he invites God to just come in and give us the power to do that. And I'll be honest, like on Thursday a week ago, I cried a lot. And I was manly crying, you know, of like, you know, I'm not crying, crying, like, you know, I'm not crying, you're crying, crying, you know, like, you know, sniffling and kind of like waiting for prayer to wipe your eyes in hopes that no one saw the tear coming down your cheek, you know, all those kinds of things. But this just blessed me. Like, this just, I don't know, it just set the pace for the rest of the day. To have this guy, his whole goal and his whole prayer was to win someone to Christ because he saw someone led not only him, but his father to Christ. That was his prayer for that day. Let me ask you this, what have you been praying for lately? Lately, what have you been praying for? So we start the day with this prayer, a Father, like, let us be used by you to show people your amazing love. So the devotional ends, and after devotion, we go to breakfast. And at breakfast, we're sitting there, and we're having loads of fun, just kind of talking, interacting. We got to move fast because we got to meet up with the rest of the team. And we meet up with the rest of the team, and they give us the briefing for that day. And they tell us we're going to break you guys up into three teams because when you go in with a lot of people, it's still communist China, and, like, you can't have all these Americans walking around. It gets a little suspicious as to why you're there and those types of things going into, like, some of these areas. And we don't want to disrupt the underground church by bringing unnecessary attention to what God's already doing. So I'm like, hey, I get it. So they break us up over into teams, and they tell my team, okay, here's what you're going to do. You're going to go to a leper colony. I'm like, is that even a thing anymore? Like, is this like, are you serious? Like, a leper colony? We're going to go to a leper colony and share Jesus, and then we're going to go to a village, and we're going to try to find people who have never heard the message of Christ. I'm like, this is amazing. So in my team, it was my daughter and a couple of other people. We get in this car, and as we're driving, we hit traffic, which is perfect because it gives me the time to Google leprosy. Like, and what I want to know, come on, some of you know you do the same thing. I'm like, is leprosy contagious? Enter. You know, it's not just me. I've got my daughter with, I've got two sons, right? Like, I've got two of them. Like, for my daughter, it's just the one. So I'm like, is leprosy contagious? And I start looking at him like, it is contagious. Like, you know, so it makes me ask all these questions, typical American. So anyway, I'm going through this, and we finally go up this place where it's like this mine out in the middle of nowhere. Like, and you see these trucks going up there to get gravel and stuff. My guess is they were making concrete with some of this stuff like we do here in America. And we come up like road after road, and it's dirt roads, and we pull up to this place. I think they got a picture of it. They'll show it up on the screens here. We pull up on this place, and it's a full-fledged leper colony. In each one of these homes out in the middle of nowhere, they have people who about 40 years ago contracted leprosy. At that time, they didn't know how to cure it or what to do with it, so they ostracized them. and put them here at this leper colony. Now, here's what's amazing. No one has ever been added to the colony. These people have been with each other for over four decades, completely isolated from everybody else. When we pull up, you would think it's full-fledged Christmas. And it's not just because we're bringing rice and like all these other kind of elements. It's because no one ever comes to see them. Like no one ever visits them. Who in your life needs a visit? Did you know Jesus said that whatever you've done unto the least of these, you've done unto me? It's amazing how busy we forget, and we completely forget the people out there who are lonely and destitute and just need a touch from God, and we forget we're his actual hands and feet. So we go up there and we see this joy come on the faces of all these men, and I'm just astounded and I'm amazed at how excited they are to see us. And you could see the effects of leprosy that had taken place on their life. Like you could see it in their face, you could see it in their hands, you could see it on their feet, you could see it on their bandages. And most of these people were in between the ages of, if I had to guess, between 50 and 70. We sit down underneath this pavilion and we start asking questions through our interpreter, like, have you ever heard of Christ? And come to find out, the guy that we were with was someone who discipled them into that message of Christ, that this missionary had come to this leper colony many years ago and established a relationship with them, and about every 3 months he comes in and teaches them Christ. They're not only people who've accepted Christ, but they are full-fledged disciples of Christ. So much so that they bring out a hymn book and one of them starts singing Amazing Grace in Mandarin. And when he gets to the line, like I didn't know it because I don't know Mandarin from the words, but I knew it from the music and the pace. When he gets to that line, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. I lose it again. That's twice in one day. And I'm in awe of this guy, this missionary, who has taken his life and made it his one ambition to go to people who no one else would want to go to and share with them the message of Jesus Christ. To take the time to pull away and to tell them about this amazing man who has changed our lives, and I think he could change yours too. At the end of fellowshipping with these guys, we get the opportunity to pray for them, and we have a picture here of one of our church members praying for them. This is Miss Beverly. Miss Beverly came on the trip, and she had never been on a mission trip before. A lot of people in her life were discouraging her to go on the trip, especially one all the way over to China. Miss Beverly had this situation come up where there were other ladies who were going to go on the trip, but all of them had to back out. So when she found out she was the only lady a couple of days before the trip was actually going to be taken, she wanted to bow out, but we encouraged her not to, and she came on the trip. And she is now probably one of my favorite people. Like, I just love, I knew her a little bit. I'd met her out in the cafe one other time. And I got to know her on this trip, a fantastic human being. And we had this opportunity to pray for people, and she was the first one that jumped up to make this decision to be used by God to pray for this leper. And she came with such boldness and such courage in her faith that it absolutely inspired everyone else there, none more so than my daughter. At the end of this trip, or the end of this moment with them, they have one final leper, and my daughter volunteers to pray for him. And I think they have a picture of this. And when she starts praying for him, I lose it all over again, like this childlike faith. And something washed over me. Now, I'm a parent, and there are times where, as a parent, you get disappointed in your children, right? You know, you've seen things. It's like, why are you talking to your mother that way? Or, what, you know, what happened with that test? Or you should share, you know, any of these types of things. And there's other times where you're dramatically pleased with your children, right? Like pleased with them for making a good grade, or pleased with them for what they did maybe on a gymnastics court or whatever. Gymnastics, is it court? What? Gymnastics floor, you know, or whatever it may be. Like there are times where they know you're pleased with them, and there are times where you in your heart know that you're pleased with them. And I'm watching my daughter pray for this leper with so much kindness and boldness and faith that it just pleased me so much. And I have to wonder, like, especially as American parents, when's the last time we were pleased with our children for what they were doing with their faith? Not what they were doing on a soccer field. Not what they were doing on a grade or a test, but their boldness for Jesus. And it just inspired me to set an expectation for some of those things in my home, that it is not just something we are shooting for scholastically or with our sporting careers or life, but we are shooting for something that is absolutely the most weighty thing on this planet. And it is people's relationship with Jesus, and to be more pleased with that than I am with any other thing. As the day progresses, we go over to a village. Now, in between, we ate a lunch, and that was fascinating in and of itself, to see what we were eating, literally. And after that, we go to this village. And when we get to this village, we pull up, and it happens to be a national holiday in China called Tomb Sweeping Day, where they would come in and sweep the tombs off the ancestors who went before them, who died. And so they would come to these tombs and sweep them, and literally, like, the interstates were almost shut down because so much traffic, because everyone there works. Like, there's no one there who does not have a job. Even if you're getting money from the government, it's because you're working for it. Like, all of these types of things, it's amazing, and how hard they work. And so they were telling us that, you know, that's the reason why there's so much traffic, is this is like the one day people have off and like forever. And we're here, and we pull up, and there's all these people here, and we see a tomb place, like a graveyard with all of these tombs. And we come up to the tombs, and we start interacting with people. Like, we start having conversations. And through this, you know, we're Americans, and in this village and these types of things, they hadn't seen a ton of us around. And so people are naturally kind of drawn to engage. And we can't speak their language. They can't speak ours. But we brought some interpreters with us. And we started exchanging dialogue. And I try to build rapport, like we talked about 2 weeks ago, and kind of, you know, instead of them asking to take a picture with me, I'm like, hey, let me get my picture with you, and these types of things, building up some rapport to switch it over into a spiritual conversation and to ask them if they've ever heard of Jesus. Now, here was what was amazing to me. I did not talk to one person that day who had ever heard the name of Jesus. Like, never heard the name of Jesus. So that inspired me to go, like, what about Jonah and the well? David and Goliath? David and the really tall guy? Maybe you don't know him like Goliath, but he was a giant. Like, all of these types of things. They had never heard of any of it. Never heard of the gospel. Never heard of a Bible. Like, absolutely zero knowledge of any of the things that we're incredibly familiar with and honestly pass by almost every day of our life. Churches, Bible sitting on nightstands, like all of these types of things that we absolutely kind of pass by, see it so much that we're almost blind to it, right? They had never heard of it. And it just sparked me this paradigm of, here you have Tomb Sweeping Day, where they are sweeping the graves of their ancestors who never had the luxury of anyone ever coming to this village and sharing their faith with them. And we're here in this moment where the first time in this community has ever heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm discovering how hard it is to tell somebody about Jesus who has absolutely no idea what you're talking about. We build up enough rapport to go in this lady's house, and they said that this alone is a big deal, because if they invite you in your house, you've got an on-ramp. And this lady, they'll put up a picture of her. She invites us in her house, and we sit there with our interpreters, and we go over the gospel of Jesus Christ. We start with creation and take it all the way forward to what Jesus did to rectify our sins and mistakes. And like Paul said when he stood before King Agrippa in the book of Acts, I almost persuaded him. We almost persuaded her to become a believer in Jesus Christ. But we got her information and we plan to take it from there. Now here's the cool thing. The guy who was praying earlier who was from the Philippines, he talked to someone who had never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and him and his wife led that man to the Lord Jesus. Which brings me to the end of the day. So we're driving and we're tired and we're going to the last thing of the day, which turns out to be a youth camp. Now, originally, it was not supposed to be a youth camp. We're supposed to do other things, but due to some crackdown that's been going on in the nation, a lot of our plans got changed and altered and these kinds of things. So they asked, would you like to speak at a youth camp? They need a speaker. They had a speaker booked for over 2 years, but that speaker had to pull out at the last minute. And we're wondering if you would speak. Like, they need a speaker, and we told them about you. They would love to have you. And I'm like, sure, I'll do anything you want me to do. And in my mind, I'm picturing like 9 Chinese children in a hut. Like, this is what I'm kind of thinking when they mention like youth conference, these types of things. But come to find out, what the conference was all built off of was missionaries from all over China who sent their kids to this conference one time a year. I immediately begin to see how strategic the Holy Spirit is, because guess who I happen to have on the trip with me? My youth, my daughter. So she comes over in this conference, and here you've got all these kids whose parents have given up everything to serve Jesus. Their entire life is built off of the sacrifice of serving Jesus. And he immediately showed me, like even in our American culture, how little we have to sacrifice to actually be a Christ follower. In fact, in our American culture, to become a Christ follower, you don't have to give up anything, you get everything. And so much of our messages are geared off of like what we can get from Christ, the peace we can get from Christ, the prosperity we can get from Christ, the healing we can get from Christ. And I know all of those things are so incredibly true, because God is like such an amazing, loving, heavenly Father. But so much of our prayer life as Americans is focused on how we can be blessed by God, where so much of their prayer life over in China was how can we be used by God. And all of these parents are moving and selling everything that they have. They came from all over, from Korea, from Great Britain, from England, from, you know, all of these other nations, and moved to China to evangelize this nation. They brought their children, who obviously when your children don't have too much of a say-so, right, as far as what your parents do, you're kind of at their wishes and whims and their behaviors and actions and all these other kinds of things. And this conference is made up for them. Now, here's what amazed me at this conference is all of these kids are facing so much. So much of their families have had to move, and so much of their connections have had to move and shift, and none of the luxuries and things that our children get to enjoy many times here in America in terms of food and clothing and style and all these types of things. But over 100 of these kids all gathered together in worship. And I want you to see a picture of these kids. Like, this is what they're doing for Jesus. Like, they're on their knees in worship. They're at the altar, surrendering all to Jesus. Whatever you want me to do. Many of them had sacrificed so much. In fact, my daughter prayed for one girl who had to give up her dogs to come to the mission field. Now, that may not seem like a big deal to some people, but for those of you who have an emotional connection with your animals, think about giving that up for Jesus and the emotional impact that that would have on a 13-year-old girl. But they counted it as lost, as dung, Paul may say, for the excellency of serving Christ and telling other people about his amazing love. Now, here's why I say all of these things. is we're in this series called So Loved, where we are so blessed to hear how Christ so loves us. That when Christ walked on this earth, literally the word that they had to use for love, the kind of love he demonstrated, none of the words that existed in the human vocabulary would do it justice. So I had to invent a new word for this kind of love called agape, this kind of love that was a friend of sinners, this kind of love that picked up people who were hurting and wounded, who visited the homes of tax collectors, who touched lepers, who came in and ministered to those who were broken and hurting. When everyone else was wanting to stone a woman who was caught in the act of adultery, Jesus is loving her back to life. The kind of love that makes a prostitute come in and not feel ashamed to be with Jesus, but instead to surrender everything for the honor of knowing him and pouring out her old life for the opportunity to walk with him in a new one. This kind of love that is nailed to a cross for all of our sins, mistakes, faults, and failures, and looks at the people who are nailing him and says, "Forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do." And this kind of love, I know for my family and for me personally, has rocked my world, man. Like, it has changed my life. The patience and the grace of God that has been demonstrated to me and my family. My father was a drug addict, man. And what God has done through our family, what God has done for us, the patience he has shown us, like, it has rocked my world. And I know I'm not the only one, right? I know that many of us were like Saul in the Old Testament, the first king of Israel, who when we first came to Christ, we felt like we were nothing. We had all this baggage we were trying to hide behind, and God took us, and he made us king. And we stand here in America blessed by God, man. I mean, we look at just for no other reason than the area code you were birthed in. Blessed by God that God has so loved us. And I think we owe it to our community. We owe it to our city. We owe it to our nation to come and at least occasionally utter a prayer that is not based off of how God can continue to just bless us, but is coming to him in surrender and honor and saying, "How can I be used by you?" Paul wrote this in Romans. It's my lead verse for this. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, you know it. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, but also to the Greek." I'm not ashamed of Jesus. In front of a waiter, in front of a waitress, in front of a neighborhood, in front of my school members, in front of my people I'm talking to on Fortnite, whatever it may be, I am not ashamed of Jesus. And just as he has changed my life, I believe wholeheartedly he can change yours as well. Because whether we know it or not, this nation, America, is in need of revival. One out of 60 Christians in America today have shared their faith with someone else. One out of 60 has shared their faith with someone else. And on Palm Sunday, the Sunday before Easter, where people laid down palms to celebrate this king, to make his entrance into Jerusalem easier and worthy of his praise, could we make a decision as a church and make a decision as individuals that just as they paved the way for Jesus to go to the cross and to Jerusalem, that we will pave the way for someone to come to Christ? It would be self-serving for me to just simply say, invite them to Easter next weekend so we can have large attendance. It's Easter, we're gonna have large attendance. Here's why I'm asking of it. One, I believe that there is still a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Two, I believe that you'll never come alive more spiritually when you make a decision to risk persecution and tell someone about Jesus. That you don't want to repeat Peter's mistake where around church people and around Jesus, you're like, I'll never, but when I get around people who are not church, out of fear that they might reject me, I remain silent about my faith. I want you to have that kind of courage. I want it for you. I want it for my children. I want my children to see me do it. I want them to see that this is not just a Sunday thing. This is not just some zoo where the animals come and everyone can look pretty in their cages. That this is a raw faith. That we are not just professional Sunday-only Christians, but in Him we live and we move and we have our very being. And we still believe Jesus is the greatest thing that ever hit this planet. So if I will talk about a movie to people, and I'll talk about a restaurant to people, and I'll talk about an appetizer I ate somewhere to people, I sure enough will talk about the Savior of the world and how He has changed my life. The Chinese church prays for our persecution. You know why? To make us come alive again. To make us get tenacious with our faith all over again. And so since we have been so loved by God, in spite of our faults, failures, and weaknesses, let's lay down some palms this week and in our lives that make the pathway of Jesus accessible into the lives of other people. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for these amazing people and the opportunity to speak to them, to preach to them, to pastor them. And Father, I just thank you that you just reign supreme in all of our families and all of our lives as Lord. Father, what I would ask especially today is that you would give us a heart for the lost, a heart for the hurting, a heart for those who may be broken and wounded. That you would raise up a new generation of healers, a new generation of Christians, those who are like Christ and have a heart for what His heart beats for. With every head bowed, every eye closed, maybe you're here today at the early service. You say, you know what, Pastor Joel? I need a fresh start. I need a touch from God. I need forgiveness. I want to be clean. There's something about sin. Even if you don't know that it is sin, it just makes you feel dirty. And today you say, Pastor Joel, I want to be washed in the love of Jesus. I want a fresh start. I want a new beginning. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. No one's looking around. I'm not going to embarrass you. But if you're here today and you say, Pastor Joel, that's me. I want to be washed today. I want to be clean. Maybe this is your first time. Maybe you did it when you were 18. Maybe you did it last week. But today you just say, I want to be clean. I'm not going to make anyone look at you. But if this is you, would you just lift your hand up before Jesus as a sign of surrender? Hands going up all over the room. Amazing. Just surrender to Jesus. Now, everybody in here, just pray this prayer with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus and His amazing grace for me and my life. I believe I am not my mistakes. I am not my sins. I am not my faults. I am not my failures. I'm not my mistakes. Jesus, you have loved me, washed me, and made me clean. Today, Father, I surrender all. I give my life to you. And I thank you, Father, that my best days are starting right now. In you, I am clean. I am washed. I am made new. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give it up for everyone who made a decision today. Oh, amazing.